Well, let's pray. Lord, we pray now that, as always, that you would open your word to us and open our hearts to you. Your word is the truth. It is life. It is light. We need your spirit to take that word and bury it deep in our heart. And do make us receptive to your spirit as it buries that word deep in our heart. We want to be like you. May your word transform us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Socrates is one of those famous ancient Greek philosophers, lived a long time ago. And he was once asked about marriage and whether a young man ought to marry. And he said, by all means. If you find a good wife, you'll be happy. If you find a bad one, you'll become a philosopher. It's a bit jaded. Maybe there's an ounce of truth in it, I don't know. What's the point? The point is this. In all of our relationships, like marriage or whatever the case might be, we have to work at them. They don't just happen. We have to work at them. We live in a fallen world, and so sometimes it's a lot of work. Some people think that whether they have a good marriage or a bad marriage is the luck of the draw. It's not. If you have a good marriage or a bad marriage, usually depends way more upon how much you work at it than the luck of the draw. So I'll say it again. We have to work at our relationships, and this is especially true when we're talking about our relationship with God. We can't see him. We can't touch him. It's easy to lose touch with him if we want to. Of course, we don't want to, so we have to work at our relationship with God, perhaps even harder than we do with our earthly relationships. And how do we do this? We do this by consciously and constantly remembering how great he is, reminding ourselves how wonderful our Lord is. David said it this way. We're in Psalm 145. We are going to spend almost all of our time on the first couple of verses, and then every once in a while I'll touch on a few others. But we'll spend almost all of our time on the first two verses. David said it this way. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. So as we look at these two verses, let's talk about the what, the when, and the who. So what? What did David say he would do? And by implication, what you and I should do as well. David said, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name, and so on and so on afterwards. The word extol means to lift up. It is used in Genesis 7:17 to describe the ark as the water lifted up the ark. It was used in Genesis 31:45 to describe a rock being lifted up. In Deuteronomy 8:14 to describe hearts being lifted up in pride. Or in 1 Chronicles 15:16 to describe voices being lifted up in praise. Often it's translated, as the ESV does here, as extol. The NIV, in this instance, translates it as exalt. That's another common way that it is translated. But the basic idea is that of lifting up something. I will lift you up, my God and my King, David said. I will extol you, exalt you, however you want to say it. I will lift you up. And as you can see, it's parallel to, in verse 1, bless, and then in verse 2, bless and praise. So always in this context, the idea is of lifting God up in praise and blessing his name. So what did David say he would do? He said he would lift God on high. He would lift up God in his heart and with his voice. He would remind himself and everyone else how wonderful God is. How wonderful God is. So indeed, think about how great God is. And this is, I know, one of my ongoing themes. I always come back to this. But think about how great God is. In the next verse, verse 3, David said, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." We can't come to the end of it. We can search out his greatness as much as we want, and we can never come to the end of it. We can never discover all of it. It's beyond us. His greatness is greater than we can even imagine. So just for a moment, think about this. It's been estimated there are 2 trillion galaxies in our universe. 2 trillion. And that is, in the universe we know, the universe we can observe. How much beyond that does the universe go, we don't know. But 2 trillion galaxies, that number means nothing to me. That's so big. 2 trillion galaxies, I can't even picture that in my mind. It's hard for me to picture a galaxy in my mind, let alone 2 trillion. And yet, God is present in every one of those galaxies just as much as he's present here with us today. That's great. And not only is he present in all 2 trillion of those galaxies, he stands outside of what he's created as well. And again, counts everything he created as dust on his hand. How do you grasp someone as great as that? His ways are unsearchable. His greatness is unsearchable. Who can understand how great he is? Amazing. And then not only is he great, but he's also merciful. Down in verse 9, David said, "The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is ever over all that he has made." And we see that everywhere, don't we? Man is fallen, but he still exists. Once man fell, God could have just squashed man like a bug, and that's the end of man. Man fell, but he still exists. And because he fell, he's broken. We're all broken, and yet we still are able to love and be loved. Isn't that something? And even in our brokenness, we still have some very wonderful relationships. Mercy, God's goodness. The world itself has fallen, but it still exists. Again, once the world fell, God could have got rid of it and started all over, but the world still exists. God's goodness, his mercy. And even though the world like us is broken, you look around, and everywhere you look around, you see something that's beautiful, something that takes your breath away, something that's just so cool that God has made, even fallen as it is. It's still like God's goodness, God's mercy. And then, of course, God is particularly merciful to you and me. To those of us who have turned to Christ. Almighty God, the one who stands outside of all that he has created, the one who counts everything he has made as dust, he died for me. He forgives my sin. He makes me his child. Goodness, mercy. In light of how great God is and how merciful God is, if we Christians especially, if we do not lift up God, we are what? We are either incredibly stupid or incredibly ungrateful. God is so good. God is so great. We ought always to lift him up. That's the what. Let's look at the when. When did David say he would lift up God, and by implication, when we should as well? The words in this verse, the verbs in this verse, extol, bless, and praise, in these 2 verses, are all imperfect verbs. And as I've said before, imperfect verbs denote continuous action that never ends, that's uncompleted yet. So David is, in essence, is saying, I will constantly, continually extol, bless, and praise God as long as I have breath. And even then, job will not be done, will not be completed. Or maybe he's even taking it further. Maybe he's saying that I will praise God as long as I have being in this life and the next. And as long as I am able, I even in the next life, I will extol, bless, and praise him and throughout all eternity. And yet the job will still never be completed. The job will never end. That's the sense of the four verbs. And then he makes it even more clear. When did David say that he would praise the Lord? Forever and ever. Verse 1 and verse 2. Forever and ever. And ever and ever and ever. And ever. Some people, you know how it goes. Some people are touched by God and they turn to him in faith. They're all excited. This is so wonderful. And they bless and praise God in the newness of their relationship. They exalt him in their hearts and they extol his virtues to others. And then the newness wears off. And they stop extolling, praising, blessing God. And they stop proclaiming his virtues to others. This ought not to be. What do the scriptures tell us? Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3:23, God's mercies are new every morning. New every morning. If we grow tired of God, it's on us, not him. Because his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And some people bless and praise God when the sailing is smooth. When life is good. They're kind of like the people in Israel in the days of the judges. God would deliver the people in the days of the judges, and they would be ecstatic about God. They'd praise God, and they'd worship God, and then time would go by, life is good. And then, as the scripture said, they forgot God and turned their back on him. Our human hearts can be so fickle. But to only praise God during our moments of deliverance and not at other times, this ought not to be as well. God deserves our constant pursuit. He is eternally delightful. Every day his mercies are new every morning. He deserves our constant pursuit. Why is it that we sometimes forget this and stop lifting up our Lord? And some people, and I grieve for these people, some people wait and wait for their deliverance. Think of the children of Israel when they were in Egypt and they waited 400 years for their deliverance. Generation would come and pass, and another generation would come and pass, and another generation would come and pass, and they're waiting for their deliverance. 400 years. Some people for the longest time are waiting and waiting and waiting for God to move on their behalf. And they stay faithful and they praise God and they hope in God and they look to God for a long time as they grow more and more tired. And like I said, I grieve for them, I do. And then one day they wake up and they give up. And they stop looking to God, they stop trusting in him, they stop praising him. And this ought not to be either. The same God who delivered the Egyptians in year 400 was the same faithful and merciful God who did not deliver them in year 390, 300, 200. God was every bit as faithful and merciful to them before he delivered them as he was when he did in fact deliver them. God is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He's always merciful. And so Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3:25-26, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. In many ways, my faith is rather simple, and the older I grow, the simpler it gets. partly by intention. When should I bless and praise God? This moment. Every moment of my life. Every day, in every situation. I should praise and bless God today because it's Sunday, and I should praise and bless Him tomorrow because it's Monday. I should praise and bless God when it's the 100 degree weather that we just had, and we're sweating like pigs. And I should praise Him when it's 30 below and a wind chill of 50 below, and we struggle to keep warm. And I should praise Him on that day and every day in between. I should bless and praise God when my soul is soaring and when it's floundering. I should bless and praise God when I feel like praising Him and when I don't. I should bless and praise God when He blesses me and when He takes those blessings from me. I should bless and praise God in good and poor health, in wealth and poverty, surrounded by friends or all alone, when I understand what He's doing and when I don't, when I like what He's doing, when I don't. Do you get the picture? Like I said, my faith is rather simple. When should I praise God? Every day, in every situation. Simple, isn't it? Who? Let's look at the who. Who did David say would extol, bless, and praise God? And by implication, who should? In both verses 1 and 2, he says, I will do this. I will extol you. I will bless you. I will do it. Me. I will do it, David said. Praising God, when you think of it, for David, was a choice he had made. I will do it. I will. And you see how it became a habit for him, how it was a lifestyle that he developed. You look through the Psalms, and time again, when you read the Psalms that David wrote, you hear about how he's discouraged, how the enemy is attacking him, how people have let him down, how people have failed him, on and on. And then what does he do in the midst of that? He either says, yet will I praise you, Lord, or he begins to praise the Lord. In the midst of all that, he praised the Lord. It was a choice he made. David says, I will do it. I will. Me. And he did. Man tends to think that we ought to bless God when we feel particularly blessed, and we should. But we also ought to bless God even when we don't feel particularly blessed. Why? Because God is always good. In verse 17, David said, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. He's fair. Everything he does is fair. It's good. And he's kind in all his works. He's righteous and kind in everything he does. There are times in our life when it doesn't appear as if God is not fair towards us or kind towards us. But appearances are deceiving. And what are we called to do? Walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by appearances. So just because we cannot see or understand how God is being fair or kind in a given situation, that doesn't mean He isn't being kind and fair. He is. We just don't see it yet. And so if we truly believe verse 17, then we can choose like David to praise God come what may. We can choose to do it by faith. Indeed, think of Job, who said in Job 13:15, though God slay me, I will hope in Him. I will praise Him. I will still trust Him. Put in there something harder. Though He slay the ones I love, takes them from me, I will still hope in Him and trust in Him and praise Him. Though He take everything that's dear to me from me, I will still hope in Him and praise Him and trust Him. Why? Because the Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. We walk by faith, not by sight. So, who ought to praise God? Me. I will. Who ought to praise God? You ought to. And I will praise God even if no one else doesn't. If no one else does, I mean. In the same way, you ought to praise God too, even if no one else joins in. So let's talk about dogs. I want you to think of four pictures of dogs. Have you ever had one of those dogs that just loves you to pieces no matter what and just wants to please you? Think of that dog. So the first picture. You come home from wherever you have been, and the dog greets you at the door. He's wagging a big old tail, big bushy tail, and he's wagging and knocking over things you don't want knocked over, but he's so happy to see you. When God visits you, wag your tail. Take your big old bushy tail and wag it to beat the band. It's okay. God is with you. He's visiting you. When you feel his special presence with you, when you're praying and he just comes upon you, wag your tail. Praise his name. Knock over stuff. It's okay. He can fix it. That's the first picture. The second picture, your dog is in a more reflective mood. He's lying by the sofa, kind of minding his own business. And then in passing, you mention his name. And what does he do? You know, half his tail starts wagging. Not the whole tail, but half the tail, because he's thinking, maybe you're going to come and give me a belly rub. Maybe you're going to take me out for a walk. And he's just, now he's kind of excited. When you think about the things that God has planned for you, just like a dog half wags his tail in anticipation of going for a walk or getting a belly rub, wag your tail. You don't have to do the whole wagging, going crazy wag, but wag your tail. When you think about how great God's plans are for you and the things he has in store, that's the second one. The third one, your dog is sick and obviously feeling miserable. And he sees you. And then that quarter wag, I can't do that with my arm, but that quarter wag where, you know, he's wagging his tail, but he's sick and he doesn't feel well. But he sees you and he knows because you're here, everything will be okay. When you are struggling, when life has wore you down, when you're tired, wag your tail that quarter wag because you know God is with you, and everything will be okay. The fourth picture, your dog has been naughty. Been a bad dog. And you know how it is. You come towards the dog, and the dog's looking down at the ground and won't even meet your stare because he knows he's been a bad dog, and he knows he's in trouble. And you're telling him what a bad dog he is. And then what does he do? Just a tiny tip of his tail sometimes. He wags just a tiny tip of his tail. Why? Because he knows. He knows he's been a bad dog. He knows that you're going to yell at him maybe for a while. He knows he might be punished. But he also knows that you love him. And in the end, you'll forgive him. When you're a bad dog, wag the tip of your tail. Yeah, God might yell at you. Yeah, he might punish you. But he'll always love you. And in the end, forgive you. Who should praise God? I should. You should. We all should. We should choose to praise God. Choose to do it. We should choose to wag our tail, no matter the situation. We should praise God even if no one else does. We should. I will say it again. We have to work at our relationships, especially our relationship with God. They don't just happen. And part of the way we work in our relationship with God is by constantly and consciously reminding ourselves that God is wonderful. We lift Him up, we exalt Him in our heart, with our words. We lift Him up in the presence of others. We point other people to Him. We just want Him to be glorified. And then as we lift Him up, what does He do? He lifts us up with Him. It doesn't get any better than that. Indeed, let us exalt our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we do lift You up. There is no one who is like You, not even close. No one who has the power and authority that You have. No one who has the heart like You have. A heart that's always righteous and always kind. You are the only one without a hidden agenda. You are so good, and You are so good to us as Your children. We are forgiven. We are loved. We are cherished. We are protected by You. You watch over us. You guide us. You train us in the ways we should go. Oh, how good You are to us. You never give up on us. Even when we are bad dogs, naughty dogs, You still never give up on us. And one day You will take us to be with You. Will there be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death? One day You'll take us to be with You and our sin nature will be gone forever, crushed to pieces. We'll be able to love each other and love You with a pure heart. One day You will take us to be with You and we will see You in all Your glory, face to face. We will be Your people and You will be our God and You will live in our midst. Oh, You are so good to us. How we praise You, how we exalt You. In Your name, amen.